The scripture this morning is from the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster, and their going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good because God tested them and found them worthy of himself. Like gold in the furnace, he tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, he accepted them. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble. They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord will reign over them forever. Those who trust in him will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are upon his holy ones, and he watches over his elect.
I've been to churches on every continent, except Antarctica, but I'd never been to a church like that one before. I was in Lima, Peru. I'd heard about places like it, but like most global things, my touchstone has always been Disneyland. In this case, it was Pirates of the Caribbean, where a skull and crossbones marked the entry spot to an underground world of pirates and skeletons. In Peru, the church above ground looked like every other church I'd ever been in, but below was a catacomb. I entered the large church with pews like any other, but as I wound down deep into the bowels of this church, I discovered a crypt like nothing I'd ever seen or even imagined actually existed. Hundreds and thousands of bones were strewn below, skull upon skull, sometimes arranged in a mosaic of patterns or gathered by bone type in large holes in the ground. It was dark and damp down there, and I have to admit it was a little scary. Another tourist near me threw up. Her stomach just couldn't handle it. I saw others turning around and making a run for it. I guess I must have been singing yo-ho, yo-ho in my mind, because it was the only context I could relate to. That, and I think humor, was the best way to survive what was otherwise a little creepy for me. And yet I was fascinated. It was cool, too, unreal. I said a prayer, because here I was among the dead, and I found myself completely in awe of all the people who wanted so desperately to be buried in the catacumbas del convento de San Francisco. But this, to be honest, was foreign to me. Let's see what's going on there. Oh, here you go. So if you look here, you can see the church above ground, and it looks just like any other church you've ever been to visiting large cathedral-type places. But if you go inside, there you go, just like a church that you were in before, a little more well-lit than yours, but looks like a church you'd never been to. But now we go downstairs, and you begin to see these. They look like they're made for coffins, but when you look inside, there are bones. And this is a huge cutout with these bones here. The next one, just a big trough of skulls. That's, again, that designed stuff, but you see the, all the different. Maybe they're leg bones and head bones, skull bones. Let's see. That's what it looked like looking down into this pit. So as most of you know, I was also in Prague for an extended amount of time last spring. and I had an opportunity to go to a similar place. So, Molly Marquise and visiting Julia Grace and I hopped on a train and headed to the Sedlak Ossuary. This is a small church known to tourists as the Bone Church. Again, it was unreal. I think that there have been may have been more bones that were than were in Lima, but I really don't know. I couldn't count them all. We were told that the ossuary contained the bones of anywhere between 40,000 and 70,000 people. Like, can you even wrap your mind around that? Now, they weren't just dumped in or even arranged bone type by bone type like many of those pits I saw in Peru. These were artistically designed. Upon the entrance, there were bones that signified a welcome. At one spot, a coat of arms. In the center of the church was a huge chandelier made entirely of human remains. It was incredible. I gotta give them credit, it was so creative. It was so spooky though. So strange, and yet also so beautiful. Here's a couple of these ones. So here they are, can you see that hanging from the ceiling? Give me another one, Jamie. That's the chandelier right there. And there's your coat of arms. And there's Molly with some skulls. So strange, right? Just as when I was in Peru, I was inclined to laugh a little, both because it was such an incredible sight, but probably more to alleviate my fears. Now this one, as you could tell, wasn't as dark or scary as the crypt in Peru. It was light and bright, and in some ways it was even cheery, but it was so strange. How did those pictures make you feel? Were you squeamish? Were you spooked a little bit? Morbidly fascinated? Maybe you're like me and your mind went straight to Pirates of the Caribbean or the Haunted Mansion or maybe some other Halloween or terror movie. Because I think in our world, we think of skulls and bones as scary stuff or maybe even like tough stuff that's meant to sort of scare us as well. I'm thinking of like the Sons of Anarchy and those tough motorcycle gangs, the skull and crossbones on their leather jackets. It's spooky. So when we do see stuff like that, it's something that's meant to scare us, whether we want to be or not. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't really feel all that comfortable with bones and skeletons and skulls. Even if we're in science class, it still gives us a little bit of the creeps, right? It reminds us of being dead. And if I'm honest, and maybe if you're honest, we're not fully comfortable with death. I remember back in college learning about these Buddhist monks, right, who practiced a meditation that involved actually walking toward and staring at death. And there were actual bones involved, and they would have to walk meditatively towards these bones. And it freaked me out. It kind of grossed me out. I felt like there was no need to focus so much on death. I mean, we're called to live life, right? Why are we focusing on death? And to be honest, I still feel that way for the most part. I'm not really all that comfortable with the crucifix. I don't like seeing Jesus' bloody body hanging on a cross. As a kid, I thought that was really scary. And as an adult, my Christology has centered on Jesus' life, not his death. I find the crucifixion to be a gory reminder of the evil in our world. It's not something I choose to focus on, even though sometimes we probably need to. So even as I've experienced the holy and the sacred nature of death, even the beauty of it, I still don't really think of death as a joyful thing. It's almost always sad, even when it's welcomed after a long illness. That someone could become a bone artist and create artwork from bones is just beyond me. I mean, I still can't really handle it. I think that's why, and I'm going to confess this here, I really didn't get Dia de los Muertos. I thought it was strange. I think I even thought it was like a little bit rude. Like they were trying to offend us or scare us with all the skeletons. It's only been in the last decade that I've come to appreciate it. And I think that's because, honestly, in the last decade, it's become more a part of our larger culture. Latinos have mainstreamed their tradition, and white people sometimes appropriate it. So we like to dress up with skulls on our face because we think it's cool, not that we necessarily understand it. See, I wasn't comfortable with it. Just like, even as I am fascinated by those bone churches, I'm not fully comfortable with them either. So, whenever I'm uncomfortable with something, I realize that the most important thing to do is ask myself, why? Why are we so uncomfortable with this? Why was I more comfortable judging El Día de los Muertos than I was in understanding it? Why was I more comfortable laughing at the bone designs than I was in embracing them? Why? Well, I don't think we need to unpack the symbols because they're pretty obvious. Bones equals death, and we're just not comfortable with death. It's no surprise. We've anesthetized death here. Where once the majority of people died in their homes, now the majority of Americans die outside their homes, despite the fact that most people say they want to die at home. Do you know only 60% of Americans? No, do you know that 60% of Americans do not die in a home? They die in acute care hospitals. 20% die in nursing homes. And only 20% of us actually die in our homes, which is where we say we want to die. But at some level, we don't want dead people in our houses. I don't know why that is, but that's the way we practice. That's the way it plays out. I think people are maybe afraid that their property values will drop or something if they have to disclose that someone died in their home. Probably it's all really something that's happening unconsciously or subconsciously for us. But I think the reality is we want to keep death away. And I guess if we associate death with horror movies, then of course we can get why. But despite my own admission of discomfort, I'm so fascinated by these churches that I visited and this reverence and beauty about death. I become enchanted by El Día de los Muertos and the beauty and delight that people find in dressing up as skeletons or decorating sugar skulls. Last night in downtown Santa Ana, El Centro de México put on La Noche de Altares. And if you remember, we honored Ben Vasquez here at our Beacon of Light celebration just a couple weeks ago. This is his labor of love. And every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We went last night, it was probably too big. But it's amazing because more and more Latinos and otherwise are eager to come. They're drawn to it by this festivity and the reverence that it invokes, but also by all the joy too. I'm drawn to it. It's still foreign to me, but where once I was afraid or even honestly repulsed or just ignorant, now I'm pulled towards it. I love that the intention is not to scare, but actually to find joy. Both Halloween and Day of the Dead are rooted in the same history, but as we discussed last week, Halloween has largely lost its spirituality, its connection to the church, and it's rarely theologized, unless you're here. See, where Halloween tends to focus on the fear of our mortality or the spookiness of the unknown, El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, puts all of its focus on death. There's no hiding away from it or being scared of it, but instead, where we want to treat it as something scary, you laugh at the face of death. And the funnier the image is, the more joyful and empowered we become. So last night in Santa Ana, at the Noche de Altares, it was clear to me that this is a festive occasion. There was dancing, and there was music, and there was joy, and it is primarily a day to connect with our dead. In fact, not only to recognize them and remember them, but to feel their presence among us. Some will say that El Día de los Muertos is not a day just to recognize death, but to see that death is a continuation of life, that our dead are among us still. Instead of trying to push death away, that means they're trying to bring us closer to death, which I think is pretty funny because we're always trying to run away from it, aren't we? We don't even call this day Day of the Dead. We call it All Saints Day, or maybe All Souls Day. And I can't help but think that's because we want to euphemize it. It means the same thing, but we want to keep ourselves as far away, even from the word dead, as possible. And yet embedded in our own tradition is this very same day. This is Dia de los Muertos. The ancient churches of old have always taught us to experience a day for the dead. Whether we call it All Saints Day or All Souls Day, this is a day of the dead. So here at Fairview, we've come to make this our tradition as well. It's a day where we memorialize the people that we love, the people who are no longer with us in this physical form. Maybe we're not exactly staring death in the face, but we've made our own altars, as you can see. Thankfully, Teresa's with us, so it gets a little color that might resemble that of our hermanos. Maybe not quite as exciting without the skulls and things, but she's got that touch. And so this altar of remembrance brings out death into our lives here today. One of the things I love about celebrating this day, or that Día de los Muertos, is that it's annual, like we talked with the kids. We recognize the pain of our loss, but the opportunity to name our dead allows us to live out the reality that death does affect us daily. Of course it does, but we act as though it doesn't. We give people time to grieve, but when X amount of time is up, we're on to something else. We've forgotten about their dead. And even though they haven't, we expect them to live as though they have. We just want to keep death away from us. But it never is. The dead never are. So when we observe days like these, we name what we already inwardly know, that our dead are with us. They are among us. I'm not saying that I know the answer to the mystery of the afterlife, but I know what it's like to live with a dead dad. His death is with me, sometimes more powerfully than other times. This World Series, oh my gosh, my dad was so with me. It doesn't matter that it's been 2.5 decades since I've seen him or that I've lived more of my life without him than with him. He was present. He is. Our dead are with us. They're always with us. And so today, we pause to remember our saints, to call upon all souls, to open ourselves up to the presence of death among us that already is. And without fear, yes, with sadness, but without that fresh sting of death, we can face it, we can embrace it, and we can thank God for our dead. Hoy es nuestro Día de los Muertos. Today is our Day of the Dead. We remember you. We experience you. We live with you still. Amen.